南無妙法蓮華経、南無妙法蓮華経、南無妙法蓮華経。Good morning, friends. Or whenever you're watching this. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice. New subscribers, welcome. Subscribers who've been here for a long time, welcome. Those of you who've been here for a while, but just recently subscribed, thank you. Liking and subscribing, as you all know by now, is a way of growing the Sangha. It's about the algorithms of YouTube. It's not really about... Well, of course, I don't want you to like and subscribe if you disagree with what's going on here. But this is part of a greater resource to help us practice with conviction, right? Confidence, remove doubt. I'm trying to create the most comprehensive resource I can for our modern practice of Lotus Sutra Buddhism as mentored by Nichiren and his doctrine, his insights, his methodology, really the methodology that Shakyamuni describes throughout the Lotus Sutra, but being in this latter age of Mapo, almost 3,000 years after Shakyamuni went extinct into Nirvana, yeah? Not into, but achieved Nirvana. We need things to be concrete. We need things to be in our face. We can't use just our minds to penetrate and achieve enlightenment. It's possible. But not for everyone. It takes a tremendous amount of dedication and time and opportunity. And we have billions more people on the planet now. And the Lotus Sutra is about the most succinct, immediate invocation of something we have innately within us, but it's totally obscured by that incredible drug called samsara. It just holds our attention all the time, right? Like the analogy, thousands of monkeys in a whole grove of trees all screaming and yelling for our attention. That's our thoughts, our samsaric thoughts. Look at me, look at me, look at me. You need more of me. Get away from that. It's all based on materialism, matter, stuff, possession, accumulation. That's what craving and clinging is about, yeah? And samsara is our condition of attachment to all of that. It's no wonder we're stressed and anxious all the time, yeah? So, even students of Shakyamuni, for some 40 years or more, as much as they understood his teachings and the way the mind and body work together and the way our attitudes and intent make so much of a difference in the way we see the world and live in the world, still, we're past the middle of the Lotus Sutra. Still, they're attached to the idea that they get Buddhahood from Shakyamuni. That he is the owner, arbiter, and authority of Buddhahood. He's the parent, teacher, and sovereign, absolutely. Right? He is the sovereign of the teaching of the Dharma. But see, Buddhahood, or Buddha, as in this chapter, Shakyamuni is now trying to get everyone to understand in the lifespan of the Tathagata chapter, is explaining that Tathagata is a state innately, inherently within the formations of everything. That the process from quiescent energy into formations is the universe, the cosmos, you, me, our lungs, our feet, our eyeballs, our skandhas, everything. that tathagata, that fundamental, that innate, inherent in all phenomena, as it begets form, which is the formula of karma, is innate in everything. But the Dharma, the experience of that, the witnessing, the influence and influenced of that, the relationship to, the perception of, that's the sentient mind. Nothing else can do that. The Dharma is the experience of Tathagata. The Gohonzon is our samsaric doorway, window, portal, opening of the eye to experiencing Buddhahood, Tathagatahood. The Dharma of Tathagatahood. That's the opening of the eye. And that happens in our Gohonzon mind, our most explicit and the thing we need to open, the thing we need to shift from the massive hordes of the monkey mind and samsara, open up, open that eyelid and peer. This is how everything works. This is clearly the process of life. It's the engine of life. That's what's happening. That Tathagata that has always been here, now observed, known, witnessed by the sentient mind, which has always been ready to do so because it's inherent. Now we've opened that eye. We've opened that Gohonzon mind. Look. Buddhahood. Tathagatahood. The thus come one of everything. Everything is the same process. Just incredibly vast manifestations, differentiations, potential manifesting. Wow, look at it. Like sparks from a sparkler. This is the engine of life. So now he sets about in prose, making this, gotta memorize this, gotta teach yourself with these words. Here we go. Since I attained Buddhahood, something I've pointed out many times, you notice this is written in the first person. Shakyamuni, in his skillful means, talks many times about himself or his enlightenment as other personages, right? He makes up other Buddhas for certain stories to make certain points. So sometimes he talks about himself in the third person as an actual personage. Sometimes he talks about himself in the second or other time periods, right? But it's all his experience of Buddhaness. But if he talked about himself all the time, people would be more stuck than they already are, thinking that he is Buddha. No. He is not. He is a man, obviously, born as a man, who worked very hard and diligently for some 12 years to reach this renge, this aha moment, yes? And he spent the rest of his life trying to get people to understand how to do this. Everyone, no matter what their state of being, class, caste, whatever. Because it's about the mind. the mind don't care about bank accounts. Well, samsaric mind does, yeah. But this is meant to memorize and recite. Knowing that, very conscious of that, since I attained Buddhahood, is a refrain for us to say to ourselves. Since I, Sylvain Chamberlain, have attained Buddhahood, since you, whatever your label is, have attained Buddhahood, right? Sonia, Jana, Paul, Peter, whatever your name is. Since you have attained Buddhahood, when you read this and memorize this, since I attained Buddhahood, that's extremely powerful, isn't it? Even if you don't get it, you're reciting it, you're learning, right? And the moment you do renge, get it, you'll go, ah, I've been saying this all along, right? It's another skillful means. Since I attained Buddhahood, immeasurable hundreds of thousands of myriads of kotas of incalculable kalpas have passed. So he's saying it as Shakyamuni, delivering this message. And I would say that everyone is hearing it as, oh, he's talking about himself. But he knows. He's saying this for you to memorize because this is how the teachings are spread. And we know they kept it in because these translations come from written documents that were written hundreds of years after he died. So it was memorized true to form. So all these people that were practicing Lotus Sutra Buddhism were saying this to themselves. I attained Buddhahood in the inconceivable past, time without beginning. Well, immediately that stops being you, doesn't it? It starts speaking about a nature, an inherent nature. There it is. Through these immeasurable kalpas, leading and inspiring innumerable kotas of sentient beings and enabling them to enter the Buddha path. I did that? No. Buddha. Buddhahood. Tathagatahood. That's what did that. And I'm no different than everyone else. Using skillful means, I have manifested the state of nirvana to bring sentient beings to this path. Yet I've not actually entered nirvana, but continually abided here, expounding the Dharma, the experience. That's what his whole teaching life was about. This is what it's like. Hurry up, get there. Although I am always among these erring beings, it's slipping from identity to being, the engine of life. With my transcendental powers, I prevent them from seeing me. Because Tathagatahood isn't something to see. It is a state of being to experience. The sentient beings, seeing me enter, now me, Shakyamuni, enter extinction, earnestly revere my relics, and, filled with longing, yearn for me. But do they yearn for Shakyamuni? They actually yearn for the experience of the Dharma, of Tathagatahood. When the sentient beings become sincere, mild, and receptive, in other words, docile, ready to teach themselves, learn, and wanting wholeheartedly to meet the Buddha, there it is again, single-mindedly meet the Buddha. With your sentient mind, how else can you be enlightened? With no mind, there is no enlightenment. There is just the engine of life. So how do you wholeheartedly meet the Buddha without a sentient mind? What is so wholehearted about a rock? are willing to give unsparingly, I mean, really determined, not just casual about it, of their bodies and lives, then I, together with the Sangha, will appear on Mount Grakuta. I will declare this to sentient beings. Although I am always here without extinction, Tathagatahood, the engine of life, through the power of skillful means, I manifest extinction and non-extinction. What does that mean? I manifest extinction and non-extinction. This is the process of karma. I reveal myself. Tathagatahood reveals itself to the sentient mind of samsara. And as it reveals itself, it reveals that it's always been there, and there's no need to reveal it, lest you make the effort to perceive it. In your perception, you reveal. But you find something. It's like a stream is in the forest, but what do you know about it? Till you make the effort to go out in the forest, the stream's always been there, but your experience of the stream took your effort to get to it. Right? Life is momentum, constantly. Everything in the cosmos, moving, momentum, energy in motion, kinetics. If you want to know about anything, you have to make an effort to go and find it, whether it's exterior or interior, right? That's what he's talking about. If there are any sentient beings in other worlds who respect and believe in me or are committed and can have confidence that I exist, you gotta have some confidence that the stream is out there before you set out trekking through the forest, right? I will also teach them the highest dharma. The Tathagata-ness, when you seek it out, will teach you the highest dharma. This is the highest experience of the process of life. Tathagatahood. Not knowing this, you only think that I have entered parinirvana. Not knowing this perception of the nature, the true nature of all phenomena, you see me, Shakyamuni, a human being, enter into death, and what happened? Where'd he go? You don't perceive that the Tathagata-ness hasn't gone anywhere, come from anywhere. It's just the process of life. It's ongoing until the universe disappears, which, as if you've heard me say, the universe, the cosmos, is life. It annoys me when I hear these shows about, will we ever find evidence of life anywhere in the universe is life. Wake up. I see all sentient beings submerged in the ocean of suffering, living in our little parameterized samsaric universe. That's why we build our databases constantly, our warehouse of identification, and it keeps growing and growing. But however hard you and diligently you work on your warehouse of identification, right? This is me, this is me, this is me. How can you ever hope to be the grandeur of the entire cosmos? And yet there it is, waiting for you to experience it. Open that Gohanzon door, that Gohanzon mind. That is why, by not manifesting my form, I cause them to yearn for me. So Tathagata-ness doesn't have to manifest as a human because it's already there and it requires the sentient mind to find it. The sentient mind finds Buddhahood, Tathagatahood. Not my arms, my hands, a set of teeth, a location. It's an experience, Dharma. The highest Dharma. I mean, he couldn't spell it out any more directly. Then, after awakening this longing, I appear and expound the Dharma. Tathagatness, Buddhahood manifests, and I experience Buddhaness. For innumerable kalpas, such are my transcendent powers. Which you've also heard me say, but this is what it means to transmigrate. It's the sentient mind not leaving altogether, but perceiving from samsaric existence, because that's where the sentient mind occurs, this experience of all-knowing, the engine of life. Right? For innumerable kalpas, I have constantly resided on Mount Gratkuta and elsewhere. Again, Tathagatahood is the engine of life. When sentient beings see themselves amidst a conflagration at the end of the kalpa, it is in fact my tranquil land, always full of devas and humans. All the gardens and palaces are adorned with various gems. The jeweled trees abound with flowers and fruits, and the sentient beings are joyful among them. The sentient beings are joyful among them. They experience, as samsaric entities, Tathagata-ness. The devas beat heavenly drums, making constant and varied music. They rain down Mandarava flowers upon the Buddha and the great assembly. Although my pure land never decays, the sentient beings see it as ravaged by fire and torn with anxiety and distress. From a samsaric point of view, a non-enlightened point of view, it looks like catastrophe. He's gone. It's disappeared. No, it never does. The sentient beings see it ravaged by fire and torn with anxiety and distress. They believe it is filled with these things. Because of their misdeeds, these erring sentient beings do not hear the name of the three treasures for incalculable kalpas. Totally involved in our samsaric collection of data. But all who cultivate merit and are receptive and honest will see me residing here, expounding the Dharma. For the sake of these sentient beings, I teach that the lifespan of the Buddha is immeasurable. To those who, after a long time, finally see the Buddha, I teach that it is difficult to meet him. Him, the experience, right, of Buddhahood. Such is the power of my wisdom. I understand that in samsara, I'm talking to human beings. I'm talking to samsarics. I'm talking to the monkey mind. And so I pose Tathagata-ness as an equatable entity, a man. a special man, a him, yeah, a special him with transcendent powers to give others something to aspire to in the hopes that if they're diligent enough, you and I, when we finally get there, we'll understand that it's not about him. It's about our own experience, a mind, inherent Buddha-ness. It's not him after all. It's something he's achieved that now we all can achieve easily had we just had the perception to do it. Single-mindedly seeking to meet Buddha. The Buddha inherent in our minds, in our experience. Such is the power of my wisdom. The light of my wisdom illuminates immeasurably, and my lifespan is of innumerable kalpas, Buddha. This has been achieved through long practice. You wise ones, do not give in to doubt. Banish all doubt forever. This is the nature of our focus, what it must be. The Buddha's words are true, never false. Because it's the engine of life. How could it be false? It is like the physician who proclaimed his own death. Although it was untrue, he did this to cure his delirious sons through excellent, skillful means. So no one could say he really spoke falsehood. I also, being the father of the world, the engine of life, cure those who suffer. I pose in this man you call Shakyamuni only to lead you to this realization, right? Self-realization, self-manifestation of what? The Dharma, the experience of Buddhahood. That's what we're all doing. Or did you forget? To the deluded and unenlightened, I say that I have entered nirvana. Although, in fact, I'm really here. For if they were to see me, they would become lazy and arrogant. Right? I'm going to play and, you know, this Wednesday, yeah, I'll go see Buddha. See how silly that sounds now? Attached to the desires of the five senses, the skandhas, right? Beauty, music, whatever. They would fall into the troubled states of being in samsara. Always aware of which sentient beings practice the path and which do not, I teach the Dharma in various ways, according to their ability to be liberated. I am always thinking, by what means can I cause sentient beings to be able to enter the highest path and quickly attain the Dharma? You may recognize that final statement in this chapter because we chant it, sing it every day when we do Gangyo. I'll remind you. And I'm opening the book so that I can read it character for character. Gajo Shishujo Gyodo Fugyodo Zuyo Shokado Ise Shujo Ho Maiji Sazenin Igaryo Shujo Tokunyu Mujodo Sokujo Jubushin. Right? You recognize that? I'll start a little earlier. Ijo Gengako Nisho Kyoshi Shin Ho Itsuja, excuse me, whoa. Ho itu jaku jugo yoku da o akudo chu gajo chi jujo gyodo fu gyodo zui yosho kado ise shujo ho mai ji sazenen igaryo shujo tokunyu mujo do sokujo ju bushin. Bushin. How do I bring others to Buddha-ness, yeah? To realize this living engine of life, this Dharma. Every day. That's the statement we make to ourselves. Remember, I. By what means can I cause sentient beings to be able to enter the highest path and quickly attain the Dharma? Notice it says Dharma, not attain Buddha. It says Dharma, the experience of Buddha. And that's how he closes the lifespan of the Tathagata. I can almost feel Nichiren crawling out of his skin. This is so and yet without study, without the previous skillful means, it'd be very hard, as Shakyamuni says repeatedly, very hard to understand, to comprehend, and finally to have great confidence in. This is already in me. I just need to wake it up, develop it, hang on to it, distribute it in my mind with its absolute clarity, to experience it. Man, just, I need to do this, right? Like a little baby that knows, sees these people walking around, knows it can do that too. That kind of confidence. And it lifts and it rocks and it stands up and sits down and, right? Wow, I stood up. And just like great parents, we watch this happen and then finally the child takes steps and mostly takes steps toward us. I'm doing this. Right? The family. It's a sangha. And we need to raise the people in our lives, whoever they may be, who make this commitment, who want to meet Buddha. We need to raise their confidence. We need to help them get there. Come on, you can do it. You can walk. Come on, come on. Namo myoho renge kyo. This is the Bodhisattva path. It's so simple. We're built for it. Yeah? Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you. Most of all, for your practice. Keep it up. Stay strong. Take care of your health. It's a kindness. We have to treat ourselves with kindness if we're going to understand ultimately how all others in our environment need the same kindness. It spreads, right? As our enlightenment also makes us larger, more capable, more expansive, more influential. Yeah, this practice is pretty amazing. So take care of your health. Keep on supporting this resource if you can, even if it's just to like and subscribe. That's a Bodhisattva act, propagation. Those of you who are able to buy ebooks or print books, certainly get a proper mandala. Don't forget, there's a lot of free information in this resource too. Because not everybody has financial fortune at different moments in life, right? So the podcasts, all free. These videos. And, you know, these videos are also on Patreon. But Patreon also affords a quick, easy opportunity to do singular donation or recurring donations. And those of you who are doing that, thank you so much. Such great appreciation for you folks. Some of you go direct to PayPal. That's fine, too. You can do the same thing there. There are links on the website, threefoldlowest.com, to do just that. Take you directly to PayPal and set up a donation, whether it's singular or recurring. All of it helps to grow this resource and to keep it going. Yeah. So immense thanks and appreciation for that. And I will see you. The next chapter is description of merits or rewards or rewarding experiences. Yeah. So we'll start on chapter 17 in the next video. Thanks again. I'll see you then. Bye for now.